Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Life Lessons. I am your host, Terri-Ann Cormier, and I hope you're all enjoying your Good Friday. Hopefully it's a day off for each of you. I, on the other hand, am working as always, and I wish you all a very happy Easter. So today is a really special day, not only because, of course, it's Good Friday, but because today we're talking about a subject that I absolutely adore, living your passion. Today we have a special guest on the show, Christy Clark, who most definitely lives her passion each and every day, and more on Christy in just a little bit. So what is passion anyway? Well, passion as defined on dictionary.com, in the sense that we're speaking of it today, describes passion as any powerful or compelling emotion or feeling as love or hate, and a strong, amorous feeling or desire to love or adore. Today, my thoughts are we would touch on passion in a sense of living your passion, doing what you desire to do, and following your dreams. Confucius said, "Choose a job you love, and you will never have to work a day in your life." So ask yourself, are you doing what you love? Or have you allowed yourself to do what so many others in the world do? Are you just working for the paycheck? Listen, life has a way of putting us in a different environment so that we can learn necessary lessons in our life. Also, you've heard me touch on this before. Sometimes we become something because someone else told us we would be good at it, or that we'd make a lot of money doing it. You know, I'm a mom, and for any moms that are listening right now, we all want the greatest things for our children. And, you know, that typical mom thing is, you know, we'd like our kids to be doctors and lawyers and all of those things. And, you know, quite frankly, maybe our children would be good at it. But that doesn't mean that they're going to be passionate about it. Money is a great motivator. But just between you and me, it's not everything. I've made lots of money in my day, and I've made little bits of money. And even when the money was great, life seemed great, it was not my whole world. Money wasn't everything. I've been at my peak in my career and also been at my most unhappiest. And then I've made very little bits of money and been my happiest. So even though money is a great motivator, it's not everything. I personally enjoy working within the poverty-stricken neighborhoods within my own community here in St. John, New Brunswick. There's not very much money in these positions. So why do I do it, you ask? Well, it's very simple. I follow my passion. I'm very passionate about helping others who otherwise may not be able to help themselves, motivating them and inspiring them to make a change within their own life. You and I are not guaranteed tomorrow. There are no promises for a brighter future unless you put the work into your world. So how much more rewarding would life be if you were not only living your dream, but you were living your passion? And also, you were excelling in your career or business. Being passionate about life doesn't always require your career and workplace to change. Sometimes it's just about looking at life with a new set of eyes. Have you ever wanted to do something but decided against it because it's not the norm in your society? Maybe you want to open up a juggling school, but you think that everyone would find it really silly. And quite truthfully, maybe they would. But if there's a need for it and there's a business to build on, and you would be living your passion day in and day out, why wouldn't you do it? Or maybe you've always wanted to be a drummer in a band, but you're a bank manager, and you think that doing this would harm your reputation. Well, my belief is that anything done with passion and conviction in the right context will be looked at with respect. If you respectfully showcase yourself in a professional world and respectfully showcase yourself in the drumming world, then why not do it? So joining us today is Christy Clark. Christy is a social entrepreneur, a person that I have grown to respect in my community. She is intelligent, passionate about her career choice in life, and she's a very humble individual. Christy is the president and founder of Gratitude Works Personal and Professional Development, Inc., and the founder of the Earth Spirit Rescue. The Earth Spirit Rescue is a nonprofit organization dedicated to saving horses from abuse, neglect, and slaughter in New Brunswick. Always having a love for animals and a special affection for horses, she began working with them at 8 years of age. She has consistently and creatively found ways to incorporate horses in her life ever since, which I just find very admirable. So I would like to
Hi, listeners. I think we might have lost Terri-Ann, so I'm just going to bring Christy on. Christy's in the queue, so while we're waiting for Terri-Ann to call back in, we've had some difficulties lately with the system, and I suspect it has something to do with the whole Mercury in retrograde affecting communications, because we had a couple shows the past couple of days that have had similar things. So, oh, there she is. Hold on. Hi, Terri-Ann.
Hi.
I took over for you, but here's the floor.
Thanks. Hello, everybody. Sorry we had a technical difficulty for a second, but I am back. Christy, are you there?
I am.
How are you?
I'm great. Thanks, Terri-Ann. How are you?
No problem. No problem. So thanks for so much for coming onto the show today. I really appreciate it.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thank you for having me.
No problem. So any fancy plans for Easter this weekend?
Lots of time with the horses.
So for Christy, for people listening in today, can you explain to our audience what Gratitude Works is and who is it for?
Sure. Well, Gratitude Works could be for everybody. We have three sort of main groups we work with. Families and youth, we work with individuals, entrepreneurs. A lot of women especially are really interested in our programs. And then we do some corporate business groups as well for team building and that kind of thing. But effectively what it is we do is experiential learning where the horses are the teachers. And what the horses have to teach all of our clients are what the horses are really best at, I guess, or what they're genius at. And really boils down to three core components, and that's emotional agility, nonverbal communication, and relationship mastery.
Absolutely. That's amazing. So with the emotional agility, explain to somebody who maybe has no clue what that would be. What does that mean?
Sure. So emotional agility is it's connected to emotional intelligence. This is something that we all have the capacity to tap into, but we unfortunately live in a society that teaches us to suppress our emotions, to disregard them, not pay attention to them. Oftentimes you hear the phrase, you know, leave your emotions at the door, deal with those later. What the horses teach us with emotional agility is actually how to get the message behind the emotion, use emotion as information, and effectively transform it into a really, really powerful resource that can help you in everyday life and work as well.
Absolutely. And so Gratitude Works is located in Sussex, correct?
That's right. Although we are still offering a handful of workshops in the St. John area as well.
Wonderful, wonderful. And so are all your workshops done specifically with horses, or do you have some that are not done with horses?
The majority of the workshops that I offer are with horses. I do have different programs that are available without the horses, but it's still using the philosophy that the horses have taught me.
Absolutely. And so is there a specific age range that this is good for, or is it for all age ranges?
It's for all age ranges. We've had clients anywhere from 8 to 88 come out to the barn and work with us. So they all get something really completely unique out of it, and the horses will match their pace to whatever the individual person's pace might be. So there's a lot more energy some days with the youth out there, although when the youth get their energy really high, the horses will calm down and help them balance out. and the adults, we have a little bit slower pace most of the time than we do with the kids.
Absolutely. So, Christy, you know I love horses, and yeah. I find what you're doing just an amazing, you're on an amazing journey.
Thank
you.
You
know, for anyone who's listening, where did the idea come from? You know, where did you fall asleep one night, wake up with the idea to do this, or has this sort of been on the back of your mind your entire life?
I think I was born with my love of horses, and I always knew intuitively that I wanted to work with horses, I wanted to work with people, I wanted there to be some sort of healing or teaching involved, and I didn't really know what that was. Actually, as a child, I would sort of interview the adults that I would meet to find out what it is they do, and not just sort of their title, but specifically, what is it you do, and what does that mean sort of day to day? I would ask them so that I could figure out if their career path is the one that I should pursue, and I never really quite found anybody that was doing what it is that I wanted to do, and so I just kept sort of picking away at it and trying to figure out how I could figure out to do what it is I wanted to do. And when I was in university, actually my first summer after my first year of university, I was reading a book by Linda Kohanov called The Tao of Equus, and honestly every cell in my body just sort of screamed at me to pay attention, because this woman was doing exactly the thing that I wanted to do. So I did pay attention, and I continued to read and did as much research as I could, and then eventually went on to learn her methods, and this is what I am teaching, something very similar to that now. Yeah.
Absolutely. So I think you've already really answered this question, but why horses? What is it about horses that a dog couldn't teach, or another animal on this planet couldn't teach? What is it about horses that obviously they work well with you, but why is it that they work well with others as well?
Right. So I get this question a lot. Why can't, or can dogs and cats do the same thing? And there's increasing studies to show that dogs and cats have been used, and even dolphins, I think, too, are being used in animal-assisted therapy or education, and they certainly have a lot of benefits and value that they have to offer us. But what's different about horses is that they are a herbivore. Dogs and cats and even dolphins are all hunters. They're like people in that capacity. And so it's natural for them to partner with us. Whereas for the horse, it actually goes completely against their instincts to partner with us, the species that used to hunt them for thousands of years. And so there's something really magical that happens when an animal can be that vulnerable to partner with us, that really draws out a lot of value from the humans that are working with them. It puts us into a different state of mind. And there's really interesting research that's just being done by a fellow in Arizona. And he's actually proven that when we're in the presence of a horse, they actually trigger and enliven the same parts of our brain that are active when we're in a state of meditation or prayer. So when we're working with horses, it's actually a spiritual experience.
Wow.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah,
pretty powerful stuff, right?
It really is. And so, you know, of course, being around horses since the age of 8, you have this knowledge of horses, but there's also a lot of intellectual knowledge you have about horses. I know you did your studies at UNB, but I remember you telling me that you actually did your thesis on horses. Can you explain a little bit about that, or are you still in the process of completing your thesis?
Sure. I did my undergraduate thesis on equine consciousness, how horses think if they are conscious, which obviously they are. and then I'm still in the process of doing my thesis for my PhD, or I guess my dissertation. And what I'm looking at there is the history of the horse-human relationship with respect to how horses have been used in both education and therapy programs, or how horses have been viewed as teachers and healers, which is, it's really, really fascinating stuff. And I'm not 100% complete the research yet, but there's links back as far as Hippocrates, which is quite interesting.
Well, so, of course, The show title today is Living Your Passion, and, you know, for anyone listening, what is it about doing something that you're passionate about in your eyes? What is that? How does that make life more enjoyable, and how does it make it all that more rewarding?
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine doing anything else, or I guess when I try to, I don't want to. living my passion is, oh, my goodness. it makes me never really have to go to work. Everything that I do is play. I've had a number of people ask me, you know, what does your regular work week look like? And I'm going, oh, well, I don't really think of my week at all as a work week. I mean, there are certainly things that I need to do. And some of them are a little bit less enjoyable than others. But for the most part, everything that I do, because I've created my whole life around what I'm passionate about, means that everything is enjoyable. And even the things that are less enjoyable are working towards and supporting the things that are even more enjoyable for me. So everything is fun. And everything is incredibly satisfying and so fulfilling because I know that I'm living my purpose. I feel totally aligned, sort of mind, body, spirit. Everything that I do just helps me or allows me to be more of myself. It's not like I have to put on a hat and pretend that I'm, I don't know, something that I don't really want to be just so that I can pay the bills sort of thing. I get to walk, talk, live, breathe, sleep, everything I love, which is really fabulous. Totally recommend it.
And you know, I mean, as well as I know, that, you know, the majority of people in society aren't doing that. They're not living their passion because somewhere along the line, they either made a decision themselves or someone told them that they should be doing something different and they listened. So for those people who are they're in their soul, they're thinking, you know what, I need to make a change. I need to start living my passion, but they're scared.
Mm-hmm.
What sort of advice would you give someone listening, you know, for them to follow their passion?
Well, I start off by saying find a community or at least one person that you can work with that will encourage you and that will believe in you to follow your passion until you can gain enough confidence that it doesn't matter if they're in your presence or not. But start building that community of like-minded people. Attend a course or a seminar. Find a coach or a mentor, somebody who is doing what they want to do. Just befriend them and sort of be in that energy and in that environment so that you start to, I guess, untrain your mind or untrain yourself to believe those old patterns that to say that, well, I have to do this or this is the way that it's supposed to be. If you're constantly around an environment or around people that believe something different, it's easier to change those beliefs because you're given visual proof that, well, something else is possible. Because I totally agree with you, Tyrion, that so many people aren't living their passion. They're not even pursuing their passions as young people. That's really devastating for me. And the pattern that I've witnessed or been, you know, have heard is that people just don't think that it's possible or they don't think that they're qualified to do the thing that they want to do. And, I mean, it just breaks my heart to think that they need to be told or we live in the society that conditions us to think somebody needs to tell us that we're allowed to do the thing that we want to do. And if that's the case, then and you're questioning it or you're doubting it, come talk to me because I'll believe in you. By all means. Yeah, we're all qualified to live our passions. I think all we need, the only thing that we need in order to qualify us is the desire to do it.
That's exactly it. I couldn't agree with you more. So earlier when I was, you know, sort of explaining who you were and what you do, you have another side to, you know, your entrepreneurial spirit, and this is the nonprofit side. And you have Earth Spirit Horse Rescue. Tell me and the audience a little bit about Earth Spirit and why it exists.
Sure. So Earth Spirit Horse Rescue represents the first provincial horse rescue organization in New Brunswick. I founded it because in New Brunswick, horses are the third most abused or neglected animal in our province, and that statistic is also true all across Canada. And unfortunately, SPCAs in our region just aren't equipped to care for such large animals, and obviously horses don't fit inside the dog or cat cages that most SPCAs have. So there's a really big issue around this, and a lot of people will ask me, well, you know, how big is that need, Christy? Is there really a need to have a whole organization for this? And the fact of the matter is there's hundreds, some years actually over 1,000 horses that are for cases of abuse or neglect, and certainly not all of these need to be seized or taken to a new location. But with numbers that high, there needs to be a space specifically for them.
Absolutely.
And the problem is that people just don't. Or they're not aware of it. So I created our Spirit Horse Rescue to help because I saw the need, but also because I think and I feel quite passionately that it's my responsibility to give back to these animals that have helped me so much and helped people so much, even people that haven't realized it yet. Our future clients, I guess.
Absolutely. So, of course, I've gone to both your websites, and I've read on the Earth Spirit Horse Rescue, and, you know, reading about horses being slaughtered, it hits a nerve, it hits a spot. And I've spoken to others about this, and I find a good majority of people don't even know this kind of thing exists. They don't realize that horses are abused and neglected. It's sort of like it's out of mind.
Yeah.
And I think my question would be, why don't more people know about the terror that these horses face, and what can people do to help raise awareness?
Those are really great questions. I think that the reason people don't know that it exists, and first of all, when people hear horse slaughter, that's horrifying enough, but most people don't even recognize that it's horse slaughter for human consumption. This isn't horse meat that's going to feed dogs and cats and other animals. It's for human consumption, and it's not going to third world countries where there is a deficit for food. It's actually going to first world countries like France and Belgium and Japan for really, really high-priced, high-class cuisine. So that's even more...
That's what you're saying.
Yeah, it breaks my heart. The reason that I think most people don't know about it is because this is a multi-million dollar a year industry, and it's really, for those that do know about it, there's a lot of political heat, and so they keep it as quiet as possible, or not those against it, but those responsible for operating it. It's a really lucrative business, and the governments benefit from it because it's all export, or mostly export, at least from Canada. There's a small market for horse meat in Quebec, and occasionally you'll find it on Sobeys or Superstore shelves around Atlantic Canada and probably west as well. It's pretty shocking. But what people can do to help raise awareness about it is start talking about it. Look for petitions or ask people that are in the horse community. Most people know some little girl that's horse crazy. Talk to her parents because they're probably connected to a stable or something. If you follow the trail, you can find somebody that would know where there might be a petition that you can sign, or if you're willing and motivated enough to take a couple of seconds and write down a letter that says to our government, this is not acceptable and I want my voice to be heard, and mail it off to our either, you know, provincial or federal government. Probably federal would be better. There is no horse slaughter operation in New Brunswick. All of the horses here are shipped to Quebec, which means that they have, you know, at least 10, if not more, hours of trailer before their death, which is even... Anyway, don't get me started on all that.
That's a whole other topic on its own, isn't it?
It really is.
Wow. So I know your mother, Marilyn, and she has such a passion for the things you do, and you can see the support that she has for you. I remember previously you mentioning that your mom was a single mother as you grew up. Do you believe that, you know, having a mother such as Marilyn and the way that you were raised and the influence your mother has had on you, do you believe that's created the passion and the drive that you have today?
Absolutely. You know, I've asked myself the question, and I've been sort of trying to search because I identify that I'm not like everybody else, or certainly not like the majority. Stand out when I, you know, tell people what it is I'm doing, and always have when I've told people what I want to do when I grow up. Most of the time, people would look at me skeptically or pat me on the head sort of patronistically and tell me, good luck with that, dear, because I dream big, and I always have. And what I've concluded in recent years, I guess as an adult, and you start to reflect on these and really start to appreciate what you had growing up, is what set me apart was that I had a mom who believed in me, and she always told me that I could do whatever I wanted to do as long as I wanted it bad enough and was creative enough to solve the problems that got in the way. And so as a young child, for as long as I can remember, this has been her philosophy, and so I just believed it. And if somebody told me otherwise, well, I didn't trust them as much as I trusted my mom. So of course I'm going to believe that I can do anything that I want. And
absolutely.
Yeah, that's so, I totally credit her with everything that I'm doing. I'm incredibly blessed to have her as my mom, and hope that if I am ever a mother myself, that I can be just as supportive for my children.
Absolutely. So what's next for you, Christy?
Next is more of the same. We are right now we're fundraising for the rescue to build our stable and rehabilitation facilities. And as the fundraising progresses, we're building. We're actually getting ready to do some groundbreaking stuff on the property that we have in Sussex. So yeah, this year is going to be a whirlwind, and it's just going to keep getting bigger from here. Hope to help more people, more horses, yeah, touch more lives every day.
Absolutely. So we'll be putting on our website links to both your websites. So if anyone's interested in donating or coming and taking a course with your gratitude work, they'll be able to find it there. I want to thank you immensely for sharing your passion today on the show. And, of course, it was such a pleasure to hear all this information about horses. And I hope you have a really happy Easter, Christy.
Thank you. Same to you. It was my pleasure. And happy Easter to you and to everybody who's listening.
Wonderful. Okay, well, have a great day.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. So thanks again to Christy for coming on the show. Such a pleasure to hear someone going after their dreams and helping out our community while they're doing it. So again, for those of you listening in today, I certainly hope this has inspired you to take a leap of faith and go after your dreams and your passions, regardless of what they are. And, you know, all the best to each and every one of you. I think, you know, life has a way of, as I said before, teaching us many different lessons. But I think the one lesson that we all need to take from this is that, you know, to live a life full of passion, to live a life full of purpose. And there's nothing more rewarding than that. So as always, it's been great chatting with you, and I hope you start your journey on living a passionate life. So tune in next week, same time, same place. Of course, a new topic on life lessons. Have a great day and happy Easter. Bye-bye.